Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, the immaculate. Now listen to this, I'll tell you about the heartache. I'll tell you about the heartache and the loss of God. I'll tell you about the hopeless night, the meager food, the soul forgot. I'll tell you about the maiden with wrought iron soul.
And welcome to the seventh inning stretch / live broadcast of a man trying to hang on to his sanity as we go forth into the dark night here on Soma Time. Wow, we are locked in to a Soma cast that we're going to be joining here in a minute of a remarkable situation developing at Citi Field in Flushing, New York, as the Metsies are engaged in a scoreless tie with the hated Phillies. And Johan Santana has struck out about, I don't know, 15 people, it seems like. But the Mets can't get a freaking hit to save their lives. There's been 3 hits in the game. It's been amazing. And the most annoying aspect of this is, I could have been there! I could have been there. I had offered tickets for a pittance. I could have sat right by third base tonight and been there at this game. But I am here broadcasting with you, Archivers community, because I am a dedicated sape. And so we are joining the bottom of the seventh inning here with Carlos Delgado leading off in a scoreless tie. We will have some cut-ins naturally as the game unfolds, as my anxiety level wafers around. But we are going to be talking about living our truth this evening with our guest, Denise Murray, coming up in about 10 minutes. From OrganicAvenue.com. And we're taking your calls randomly as they come in. Last week we had a mystery caller identified as one Mike Silva, the Mike Silva program over there at NewYorkBaseballDigest.com, trying to call in, and he was running around in the city, I think, and decided to call on the show. The number is 646-478-4847, and we're here, you're there. So we're going to get started with that. But first, let's take a little sojourn to the swine flu update. We did have a death today in the United States. I'm going to go check that out as we speak because, unlike the last death, which, we keep score about death in this country, this one is a little mysterious in the sense that, she was 33 years old and nice big phyllo face from what I saw. Let's take a look at it here. Oh, as I see, Kirstie Alley gained 83 pounds, if we're keeping score on that. And between that and John Edwards' life falling apart and physicists claiming that warp drive could become reality, life's just motoring along here. So let's see if we can get the swine flu death up here, because we know we need more death. Swine flu death. Okay, checking the news. If anyone has that link, just shoot it over to me here. Be nice. Yeah, second death here. Okay. Texas woman. Another Texas woman. Not sure what the story is yet. But they're opening the schools up again. Starting to see the light here as Delgado draws a leadoff walk as we're in the Philly bullpen. We're on ADD Radio. So let's see. Let's take a look at this story here about this woman passing away. Boy, there are going to be politicians just jumping all over the freaking map on this. Yep. Sick for about a month. The WHO has confirmed 30 deaths worldwide from the virus, 29, of course, in Mexico. 403 confirmed cases of swine flu in the United States. 693 suspected cases. Okay. Pretty much we're in a standard amount of influenza out there, but, this is a new strain, so they're all in a lather about it. Now, this woman, it's like, what is this, like mystery woman here? I can't find any background about why she was sick for a month. That's all I say. Okay. CNN, she stopped. They're not even. They're confirming the death from the flu, but stop short of saying it killed her. It's part of the clinical picture, is what they say. Texas woman had swine flu has died. Yeah, not much in there. I mean, I'm still rooting around here, but just trying to get a name. Who's this person? Let's see, here's the third link in the Washington Post. Let's see if Professor Val has any insight. Wow. So anyway, this is one of those things where, as a somaticist, I'm amazed at how the map has really been pushing the territory along here, and we're still sitting around saying it's a pandemic and all that, because that's the parameters that the World Health Organization and, of course, the CDC uses to describe things. Let's see if they give a name. Nothing. They got, and that's the same article, basically. Health authorities today, second death down in Texas. There's a pop-up. Short right field. He's fighting it. Oh, and a diving catch by Wirth. Well, they're fighting the lights there at Citi Field. Every outfield ball is like an adventure. Let's see if we have anybody up on the line. Nothing yet. A couple minutes away from our friend, our guiding light, Denise Murray tonight, who hopefully will talk me some sense. Which is, you know, I need that every week. So let's see. We got 38 states registering some form of this flu. While no more severe than the seasonal influenza, it's likely to spread. So, you know, I'm kind of done with this. We got 90 cases in New York. The schools are open. And everybody's just basically washing their hands and having a freak out. So I'm a little sick of this thing. A little sick of the sickening flu. Oh, there's a long fly. Left field, I believe. And it's caught by Victorino in left center on the warning track, or a couple of steps on the warning track. Two outs as Murphy gives it a ride. I'm just trying to get this woman's name. It's really bugging me. It's amazing. It's like you got to go digging around for this. All right, I've lost interest. Anyone who knows the name of the woman in Texas, just give me a call here. There's a reason to call. And maybe we figure it out. No, the name is not Ann Flo. I need the name. Let's see if she can get it for me here. As I type and talk at the same time. Anyway, be that as it may, I love that phrase. We're putting that down for a second here. And, you know, I want to get to you guys a little early here in the call, because the topic tonight is something that I appreciate. I definitely understand the benefits of, but I have no capacity to comply with its parameters. That has to do with the vegan movement, I'll call it, that Denise is championing. And our guest is going to be on to talk about it, Denise Murray. And what I'm really admiring about what she's done is her ability to extend that philosophy beyond just the food to the entire living style, as it were. And that's what we're going to get into, is how that transition really took place and has become, you know, very successful business for her. And that's what I want to get into, because that's one of the things about this particular approach to things allows people to take things that are intrinsic to them and specific to them, and develop a connection and a community to others that have like mind. And that's really what I want to get across about this particular topic. And we'll see what transpires as I print up my questions. You can tell I really prepared tonight. I'm just a dynamo here. All right, again, the number 646-478-4847. As the office is a typical circus here on Wednesday night. And Denise should be along here in a couple of minutes, and we'll, again, we're going along that little path as the Mets are still up there in the bottom of the seventh with two out. They're changing pitches. And we'll keep you informed if anything changes there in Citi Field as we're locked into this 0-0 game. that could require some smelling salts for me if we lose. And we are still typing while we... Okay. Let me get my horn. Where's my horn? I don't see the horn. Oh, there it is. Hello. Okay. Joining us now, where there are 90 cases of swine flu reported from the big city itself, New York City, Denise Murray from OrganicAvenue.com. Welcome to Selma Time, Denise.
Hi, thank you very much.
Okay. Mystery guest, enter and sign in, please. So you're down, where's your location of your shop down there?
I actually have two locations. One's in the West Village, and the other's in the Lower East Side.
Okay, and what's the scuttlebutt in and around your stores since this outbreak? You know, they had some schools closed and reopened last week. What has been the perception of it from your side of the counter, so to speak?
Nothing to worry about.
Okay, good.
Nothing to worry about.
The panic has not pervaded your milieu.
No, just a little more frustrated that other people don't have the information and aren't empowered with their own health and fall into so much fear. But other than that, we're doing well.
The World Disease Organization is certainly at work 24 hours a day scaring everybody. So, they say they're the World Health Organization, but all they talk about is disease. And, we're at level 5 of the pandemic, according to them.
Those are words that
make people go, what? There's a pandemic? They think of like all these, you know, horrible movies with Dustin Hoffman running around.
Yeah, best thing to do is get rid of the TV.
Well, yeah, if we can all disconnect from the television and the internet, we'd probably live longer and we wouldn't be scared by so much. But people are quitting and tweeting.
Yeah, the internet's okay, but it's without the TV, it's a lot better.
Yeah, well, TV is sort of like a homogenized version of the internet. It's sort of internet for dummies because it's one way, you know.
Yeah.
And people sit and worship it, and they don't question it. And unfortunately, there's a lot of ways to take generic basic information and make a balloon animal out of it and use it for your own political ends. And that's pretty much what's done with this information now about the flu, which has nothing to do with the pigs, has very little to do with Mexico. And it's like, it's just a new strain. And of course the big thing is, well we got to make a vaccine for it, which is the same backwards ideas that always come out of those guys.
It's crazy. People need to be educated to the new biology and some basic understanding of alkalinity and, you know, a lot of what the raw vegan diet promotes is to a level where these things won't phase you. They won't. Mm-hmm. You won't get sick.
Okay. Well, Denise, I have to pause because of the shocking development down in Flushing. There you go. Sorry.
What is there, baseball or something on?
We at the top of the show, we are a little, every week we have kind of an anxiety check because there's usually some sporting event we're tracking. We call it Soma Casting, and because it's just like it's unbelievable.
It's more TV. More TV.
Don't count that as TV. This is live drama, and there was a 0-0 tie that the Mets just took a lead on like a series of crazy errors that's gone on here. So we're just passing it along. But getting back to you and serious stuff, I want to know something about when you wake up in this world that is basically soaked in all types of fast temporary relief, 24-hour drugs, you know, the environment is spooky and bad. Do you just wake up some days and just put your hands on your knees and go, oh, I can't look out there anymore and just can't wait to get to work and be around people that have of like mind? Or are you more saying, what can I do today to get one more person to wake up?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, I've got my own world. You know, when I do enter my stores, there is a little safe haven. New York City is quite intense, and it is where I call home. But there is a lot of work to be done, and by having these stores, there's a little community. Other like-minded people pop in from time to time, so that's rewarding. And there's ways to just make the best of it. I mean, I go running along the West Side Highway, which is also the Hudson River, and you know, there's bits of nature and water, and when you're lucky, like today, the sun comes back out, and you know, there's lots of hope.
So you wake up with that mindset that you can make an impact on people today as they come in the store. Because what I always notice is that the ones that are already coming in, yeah, they're sort of part of the choir. They're sort of part of the, you know, they've already done their huzzas. I always ask them, I go, do you know anybody else that is on the cusp of making these kinds of decisions about their life? Because somewhere between the ages of, I say the age of influence for the average adult is between 35 and 55, when the old stuff starts to become a little tired and your fastball goes, so to speak, and you've got to develop some ways to kind of revitalize and renew yourself that doesn't rely on over-the-counter, you know, pills, potions, and lotions, and you got to develop some sense of interior, a way of processing, and you know, and any number of people, if you go up the pike to Omega, if you go up even further up the pike, and you go to, you know, Kapalo, one of these retreat places,
mm-hmm.
those people are already there, and it's almost like you feel like you're in a foreign universe sometimes, like, how do all these people have time for all this stuff? And then you see the 45 to 50-year-old crowd that is now starting to show signs of premature aging, and they've got the behavioral addictions, and they're sort of in that stage of almost like kind of like existential resignation, like, what can I possibly do to impact this at this point? But you started at an early age developing this mindset of you know, I'm going to trust my body, and I'm going to trust the reactions I get from my system, and have more of an intuitive sense of awareness. When people are waking up from the intellectual side and going over to the right brain and going, maybe I can question this, maybe I don't have to follow the herd, what's the mechanism you find is the most supportive to get people to kind of keep going on that journey, even when sometimes the road isn't, you know, well paved for them in respect of making these choices stick?
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as people still have a dream and they still have an innate sense of who they are, when they're faced with an opportunity to make a change, they do. And for myself, even as a young child, I mean, there were things that I thought seemed wrong, you know, whether it was like, you know, just the concept of eating animals, that I was waking up at a young age, that there's something seemed wrong with it. But I didn't know any vegetarians. You know, it wasn't until college that I met one. But when you meet someone or you hear the information, maybe it doesn't strike first time, but the more you're exposed to the possibilities, all of a sudden it becomes like, oh, maybe that is something I can do. And I think that's one of the things, the benefit of having the stores and doing things, even being on a show like this, or I'll be at Urban Zen on the weekend talking to people. Mm-hmm. It just gives exposure. And once people are exposed, and if they see someone, they say, what, they're doing this? They've been doing this for this long? This is how they do it? And they're like, well, maybe I could do it. And I think it's really not an age thing, because I've seen many older people have no problem when they get introduced to new information, say, I want to try that and go for it. There mm-hmm. must be something else that sometimes holds people back. And I'm sure it's a level of fear, but I don't always think it goes right along with age.
No, generationally you might see it as a group, but individually you're going to get a lot of variation. And even coast to coast, of course, the West Coast being like, we'll try anything, and the East Coast going, I need approval from 10 different sources and, you know, five different doctors, and okay, now I can try it. You see that within the culture, there's definitely a dynamic as well. But my biggest problem with it is that there seems to be sort of like a double standard, in the sense that when a new drug comes out that's the new, you know, wonder drug, whatever it is, if it's Allegra or whatever the heck it is, you know, that they come out with, every spring there's a new allergy drug, it seems.
Of course.
And then a couple of years later, there's another class action lawsuit with, you know, like, to get it off the market. It never seems to, there was one case, this tryptophan a million years ago, that, you know, there was a bad batch of tryptophan, and I think four people had died from it. And ever since then, the F part of the FDA has been trying to basically co-opt the supplement industry and make it much more like, you know, prescription drugs.
Yeah.
So they were going to regulate it because of one case. If they did that with over-the-counter drugs that they've been moving from prescription over-the-counter the last 10 or 15 years, especially some of the mood lifters, forget it. The shelves would be empty, because it's a strange animal that says what's cheaper and more effective. Like, maybe you remember back
in the aftermath of 9/11, there was the anthrax scare, and everybody was running around, you know, taking the Cipro in the lungs,
mm-hmm.
right? And
mm-hmm.
and of course that another class action lawsuit resulted from that because it was punching holes in people's lungs. It was a little too aggressive. And other countries that can't afford this kind of pharmacological way of going about it, they just need some garlic, and it, you know, it's 4 cents a person.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
I think that's probably the thing that drives a lot of this stuff is economically there's no money in a lot of these natural approaches because there's no way to exploit people on simple means like that. But
I think, you know, it's just time for people to wake up and
mm-hmm.
begin to take personal responsibility. I mean, the information's out there for anyone who wants it,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they really want it. And when you start to take, like, even with the allergy thing, it's not, I mean, everyone runs for the drug, but when do they look and say, well, what did I eat yesterday? You know, or
mm-hmm.
like, you know, and I've seen it with myself. So I'm my own guinea pig for all of this. You know,
right.
The allergy season, everyone's talking about allergies. I was like, all of a sudden I had allergies. I was like, what did I, oh, but wait a minute. I had some of these desserts, these delicious desserts we made at Organic Avenue the last couple of days when I've been completely off sugar. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went right back on my green regime and just green juices and staying off sugars. And like in a day, my head completely cleared. And I was just like, that was allergies. The pollen levels haven't changed, but I'm fine now. So it's a lot of trial and error, but people have to really start to, like, I guess I hear Dr. Young talk not about stepping out of the box, but making the box bigger. And I think if I have the ability to kind of come to these conclusions and play with the world in this way and find tremendous health benefit, spiritual benefit, I'm sure that others are quite capable of it too.
Now, for the audience's benefit, Dr. Young, 25 words. Who's he?
Dr. Young is the author of The pH Miracle, and he's actually my teacher for live and dry blood microscopy. He's
okay.
been studying how diet and lifestyle affect the blood, and you can look under a drop of blood on the microscope and you can see how your diet and lifestyle affect your blood.
Mm.
So he's also an author, and he'll be here in the end of June giving a 2-day workshop as well.
Wow. Well, that's sort of a segue for me because a lot of words that get into the sort of the glossary of this lifestyle that kind of sail over most people's heads because they don't get exposed to it much. Like I said to you in the email, if you had to give your game show introduction to someone who doesn't know a vegan from a Vulcan,
yeah,
the Star Trek coming out. You know, just what would be your sort of like, you know, simple way of saying this is the lifestyle, this is what it involves, because most people when they hear, you know, blood microscopy, whatever you just said,
yeah.
are gonna be like, huh? And this is too complicated for me, obviously,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, so a vegan actually, as it's pronounced, is a vegetarian who has continued on the journey of self-discovery and truth seeking. So a vegan is, you know, everyone knows what a vegetarian is, but a vegan
mm-hmm.
is the next level for anyone searching to be more in alignment with an ahimsa or a nonviolent based lifestyle. So, you know, a little more simply, vegans do not eat, drink, or wear animals or their byproducts for reasons of health, spirituality, and because they see animals as sentient or feeling beings that are on the planet for our care, not our consumption.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a few different levels. So, like, there's vegetarian and then there's vegan. So vegans just do not use animals or animal byproducts. But then at Organic Avenue and with my holistic practice, I take a few more steps because as information continues to be refined more and more. So if we look at also predominantly promoting a raw, uncooked plant-based diet and even further along, choosing foods that are more alkaline in nature. So we do these detox love programs based on a live, organic, vegan experience, and these are just bridges to health and consciousness. So
now, what percentage of vegetarians would you say would be flag-waving for vegans?
I'm not exactly sure of the percentages. It's a small population. I think it's, I'd give you wrong numbers if I made it. I'd just be making it up, but the numbers are out there.
Do you think in your community there at Organic Avenue it's a high percentage?
Actually, we have all walks of life enjoying our foods. It's a complete lifestyle sport for a vegan because everything
mm-hmm.
we make is of the raw, organic, and vegan to that level of integrity. But we have people, you know, that do programs just for detoxing and cleansing, and people who are transitioning and just toe dipping in it. Yeah, so it's
you're not one of those. I mean, because I've seen on that extreme, you know, the ones throwing the paint at the Mink Code people, and you know, the protesting,
yeah,
all, you know, freeing the lab animals and all that stuff. Would a vegan look at that as saying you're going too far, or would a vegan look at that and saying this is at some level it's beneficial?
It all depends, because there are vegans that do or adopt a lifestyle for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I came up with this concept, or in conjunction with a friend of mine, the love, use of the word love as an acronym for something that's more than vegan, which is the live, organic, vegan experience. So vegan being the part that's compassionate for the animals, organic being the part that's, you know, really concerned about the environment and making sure there's no chemicals, et cetera. And the live really promoting the healthiest, most nutrient-rich food on the planet. And, of course, it's an experience because it does become a lifestyle. It's not just a way of eating. You know, there are vegans who are completely animal rights, and they don't care necessarily about their own health. They're not necessarily eating raw that much.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we're kind of coming up with a new terminology that incorporates the ahimsa approach, which is a nonviolent approach to living, and the other aspects, as well as putting in an acronym that keeps us focused on love, because that's why we're all here to begin with.
Wow. I mean, again, that these are messages that you can arrive at from just about any direction. If you're coming from, you know, the meditative side, or you're coming from more of the proactive lifestyle side, or you're coming maybe from the political side.
True.
And you've got all that kind of all weaving together there at your place, because you give people not just the kind of the raw message, so to speak, of here's your food, here's your stuff, but also sort of the depth part of it, and there's a psychological shift that goes on when people
Absolutely.
Change their diets. And what, you mentioned blood before. I'm a client and an advocate of D'Adamo's work over there in Connecticut, the blood
okay.
type guy. Now, what say the vegans about the type O's that constitutionally need animal protein to
well,
to function?
I can answer that pretty easily. I want to be respectful of D'Adamo's work, and at the same time, I look at it this way. I'm my own guinea pig.
Yes.
Right? I'm type O. I've been a vegan for over 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
I've only become healthier and more shiny and bright and more intelligent and more spiritual over that time. It just so happens that my partner is an O as well. He's been
mm-hmm.
100% on a raw vegan diet for the last 10 years, also in the top of his game, really energized and enlightened. And then all of the other leaders of the raw vegan communities, like David Wolf, Gabriel Cousins,
mm-hmm.
And others I've come across too, are all O. And Dr. Young, when he when the question of the blood type and the blood type diet comes up, he says there's only two types of blood. There's healthy and unhealthy blood.
Yeah,
and
I agree with him. I mean,
yeah,
I have this. There's a certain amount, and again, you're dealing with people that have the orthomolecular biochemical perspective, like, you know, a naturopath like D'Adamo would,
uh-huh.
and you have someone that has a more dynamic, more sort of interactive, almost looking at the bloodstream as an environmental interface, like Dr. Young seems to have.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, it's when, for example, with Dr. Young, he's been looking at live blood under the microscope for over 30 years. And when people would come to him, they'd tell him what diet or what diagnosis he had, and these patterns show up in the blood. And it's really easy to see. I have a microscope at my store, and I'm able to look at people's blood, and you can see.
You're
without
drawing
even
blood?
Knowing.
You're looking at blood? That's
oh,
like
yeah.
A,
oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can go
yeah,
in and buy.
I'm totally into the science of the lifestyle as well. You know, you get real curious about, you know, there's one thing to say you feel good, but there's another thing to really get behind it and see what's going on.
So you're like a phlebotomist at this point.
I actually am a certified phlebotomist, along with quite a few other certifications. But
yeah, I know. Your resume is very eclectic. I understand. There's a little bit of everything. You think you're going to be a chair umpire at the U.S. Open this fall, too.
I think the doctor of the future kind of has these kind of backgrounds, living food lifestyle, colon hydrotherapy,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to look at live blood and really see what's going on, to be able to coach people, and also to be the experience to kind of show people, not just tell people, but to actually be living it, a living example of it as well. It's important.
So you're kind of a triple threat there. You've got the store with the catalog, you've got the experts coming in, and you yourself have some under the radar services that they wouldn't expect to go into a store and say, "Hey, look at my live blood test," says, you know.
There's a lot in there.
Do you find that the clinicians and the practitioners, if they ran out of your store with this information, would be receptive to that, or practitioners a little bit kind of like, what?
It depends
on individually varies? Okay.
Yeah, individual. I mean, there's lots of MDs that are getting turned on to this information,
right,
and absolutely agree with it, love it, and are, you know, there's sometimes they're like, in a course of a week or even less, they can learn more than they learned in all of their medical school. You know, it's a whole different concept to health when there's a different understanding of even the basic concepts in biology. Certain things like that shifted during the time of Pasteur, where we started having to cook everything and became afraid of the germ. If you go back in history and you read a little bit, in one of Dr. Young's books, Sick and Tired, you can read a lot about the history, and you can see where things changed, and you can start to get a framework. And if you read The pH Miracle, you can start to really become empowered. Or if you get his cancer CDs and you listen to this, not only, you know, is it new information, but it makes sense. You know, and you're able to put it together for your own self, which is really the best part, to just become empowered.
Well, one of the things I do with people here in the office in my place, because I'm much more interested in the memory aspect of it, being in the somatic world, is pH with the saliva, and dealing with how people react to things emotionally, which is one of the reasons why, you know, some of the stuff you do, you know, resonates with me, because you're dealing with how people hold on to stuff literally. In the way that they kind of wired themselves up and the way they orient themselves internally. Out of all the things you do, I mean, a lot of the emphasis in this, of course, you know, we've been talking with Denise Mary here from Organic Avenue, is focused on making these progressive incremental changes in not just the way you eat, but the way you live and the way that you relate and all these other things. What do you think is the most difficult thing for people to internalize? Because their identity shifting as this is happening. And I always find people come up with a lot of old blocks that maybe got left, you know, sort of under the carpet. When they get right up to making these things happen, they'll either shy away or they'll sabotage themselves. How do you negotiate that with people with your stuff?
Well, what we do is we created a love support program.
Yes.
So
it
is multifaceted. And the first thing the best, I think, and the way I did it, is to get a foundation in the food first, because the food itself, if you get the education along with you start to practice with the food, and the food itself begins the awakening process. In my experience, your body, the vibration shifts, new information is downloaded, and then there are other disciplines that you begin to incorporate, like it's important to have a yoga practice or a breathing practice, meditation and prayer, group support, and the lifestyle encourages that, and it definitely is something that you need to keep looking at it from all angles to really go ahead with this, to go forward. Even for myself, there's a time where I'm helping a lot of people, but it was like, when was I going to be willing to accept help from others? And I had to say, you know, I need help too. So it's been a really incredible journey. It just makes it that much more evident to me how there is no just like particular, you just can't do the food, you know, because once you start detoxing, your emotions are going to start shifting, your lifestyle is going to start shift, everything shifts. But if you have faith in the process and you either know someone who's gone through it and you could see what has happened to them, or for myself, I just have faith that when it seems like you're giving something up, but in it you know that it's something that is good, you will be rewarded for it. And I've just seen that over and over again. So even in the early days when it was like food or friends and things were shifting, I just had a tremendous amount of faith, and I just kept on being rewarded with greater communities, greater information, new friendships. It's just a really expansive way to live.
Well, like I said, this is what you've done. You've created a kind of a micro world in a way that has a lot of, sort of international flavor to it in a way, because your acronym is Live Organic Vegan Experience, which, you know, spells Wild Out, of course. And I've always had trouble with those distinctions of raw versus organic, and it just seems like an endless amount of distinctions that have to be made. But you made it very clear in that it isn't really about, you know, being such a sort of a food cop in your life as it is about being more able to self-police, to be able to kind of catch yourself at these choice points and always give yourself more opportunity and less threat. And that's why, you know, when the flu police come out and wave the flag, you just go within and say, okay, what do I got to support my immune system. I've got to be much more, you know, it's almost like when you're coming out of a driving and you're going into more bumper-to-bumper traffic. You can't go 60 miles an hour. You've got to be able to be aware of your environment. And most people perceive their environment to be something that's horribly threatening and full of dangerous things. And that's what's on the inside, too. There's an environment within, and you're much more able to kind of capture that that flavor a little bit with the way you go about sharing your message, because it isn't just about eat this, do that. You know, I think there's a book like that, Eat This, Do That, or something like that.
Well,
it's
good to have, but in a way, it's sometimes good to have rules, but what I've found is the education, you know,
mm-hmm.
you have to learn. It's more not just being told what to do, but it's answering all the whys and understanding
mm-hmm.
why you're choosing these things along the way. Those just help create, you know, there's no back door. You know, like once I learned about the animals and, you know, being a vegetarian, I thought, oh, well, if we drink the milk and we, you know, wear some of their skin, well, it was already killed. And then I realized, no, you know, I'm contributing to the meat processing, or they're enslaved in this country in a horrific way. Like once I knew enough, I can't go back. And even then people will say, well, if it wasn't processed bad, you know, and if it was just whole, and even if it was raw, would that be healthy? I go, no, because I've read the China study and they've done all the research on protein. And if you take in too much high protein foods, like what it does. So the more education, the more I know why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm creating an ideal for myself and an understanding. It's not just a, oh, well, that sounds great. It's like I have all the information now that I understand why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I have all the benefits. I see the rewards.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't really become an option so much. And, it's just really about creating an ideal, considering the information, and then, you know, going towards it one step at a time. And at Organic Avenue, it just is that much more easier because I've already done, you know, 15 years of investigation, and I can catch
mm-hmm.
anyone up to where if they choose or are interested, I could catch them up in like a day or two with, you know, a good direction and start to download a new level of information. Because that's the other tricky part, is there's a lot of different information out there, even in the naturopathic, homeopathic
mm-hmm.
world, and it took me 15 years of searching to find the new butt biology described by Dr. Young and this live blood cell analysis and things like that have, you know, have me not really able to read a lot of books that are coming out, or actually able to like look at them and say, oh, they're missing some pieces now. So it's really, I would encourage people to read Dr. Young's work. And because I do find a lot of people come to Organic Avenue, and when they are presented with some of the information, it's like, wow, this isn't what I've heard lately, or I've heard here, this, there. But, you know, at least when they're standing in there with me, they see this store and they see people who are living the lifestyle, and they say, okay, well, you don't look as fat as my doctor or something like that. So they start to say, well, maybe this is a good direction to head in.
Yeah, again, this is one of those things where from the outside looking in, again, from the mainstream eye, they look in your store and they see, you know, hemp clothing, and they see all kinds of things that they don't see in Macy's. You know, how do you see this progressing beyond the borders of your store in terms of, you know, there's the LoHaS community and some other sustainability people and things like that, and of course the whole green movement is out there now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see yourself connecting to that big picture, or are you going to pretty much stay, you know, in your little farm there?
Well, I think we're really we're really there. I think we embody the whole green movement to a T. I think we are it. And we kind of are reaching far beyond our borders because we deliver our food programs and juicing programs all over the city, and the word of mouth is the best for us. So it's just, you know, going from one person's experience to a new customer, a new person's experience. And, you know, right now we're opening up, we're in the process of opening up a new central kitchen so that we'll be able to feed more of the city. And we actually even also deliver up to Connecticut and over into New Jersey. And the vision is a global one.
Okay.
So there's energy behind it, and there's a deep belief that the world needs this more than anything. And I think the time is now. People are really taking to it. It's not the first time they've heard of it. So by the time they do get into the store, or it's either a friend has done the cleanse program before, or, you know, they've heard of it before and they're ready to try their first green juice.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's food supply issues all over the place. There's water supply issues all over the place. And, you know, one of the biggest things in the city, especially even in my area here, is the school lunch programs being reformed all over the place too, because they're realizing that, you know, maybe we're kind of pickling these kids and getting them addicted to things and kind of trashing their immune systems, and maybe we're squashing some brains in the process too. I don't know.
Absolutely, yeah. It's you know, and the information is here. I mean, if I feel like I'm holding it, I know that there's a, it's here. It's well, it's there's enough here to get this, and it's not always a huge expense. Like, the healthiest way to live, or the healthiest food on the planet, are sprouts. You know, not everyone's going to go out and just start, you know, sprouting, eating sprouts. But if people are like, oh, well, it's always so expensive, like, truly the healthiest thing costs pennies a day to make. And, you know, it's a complete complement of amino acids for health. But also there are ways to get this food into the schools, and I think that's extremely, extremely important. And these questions are being raised also into the hospitals, where the food is, like, worse than airplane food in the hospitals.
And there's McDonald's downstairs.
Yeah.
Some of them,
yeah. And that was the case, like, 20-something years ago when I first was introduced to a hospital, because my sister, younger sister, died of leukemia, and I was in the hospital. I was like, there's McDonald's there. And then just last year, my mom had a diagnosis of leukemia, and I go into the hospital, which I wish she never went to, but I couldn't change her. You know, it was her choice. Mm-hmm. But what do I see there? McDonald's. I was like, I can't believe they still are doing this. You know, there's still McDonald's in the hospital. But,
well, McDonald's is now going to become like Starbucks Light. They have McLattes coming out now.
Yeah.
So they can poison
you
24
choices,
hours a day.
You know, yeah, people just have to take back their power and realize they have a choice. And
well, a lot of them are addicted. See, that movie that they show in the schools a lot, that Super Size Me movie, it really demonstrates how sort of systemic the marketing is to get people hooked on these fast foods from an early age.
Absolutely. Yep.
Very much like a religious indoctrination, where you have the symbol, Ronald McDonald, Jesus. Okay, here we go.
Yep.
And they just... they create that environment where it's the escape, it's the reward at the Little League, it's constantly put there as the cookie, so to speak, and then when you get to be, you know, an adolescent and the hormones are surging, the sugar's all over the place, you're going to always reach for the, you know, the fastest thing to satisfy those things. And if you don't have it, you got grounded in it pretty early on in your development. If you don't really have that as a foundation, either from your family or from your own choices, the majority of the country is going to go through a phase of their life where they're trying to unhook themselves from this machine.
Totally. Oh,
you know, that's
absolutely
just gobbling them up.
I had to do it myself. Believe me. Mm-hmm. I totally get it when we talk about the fact that people are addicted. I've experienced it myself. The consciousness will start to awaken, and when you start to witness yourself in addictive behaviors, that's the first step when you first become aware. And then there's got to be a certain level of, like, you know what, I'm not a white rat. I'm not. I mean, I love animals, but I'm just going to say I'm not going to be a lab rat. Like, I'm not going to be someone's little toy that's going to run out and buy their product. And and there's support. You know, there's tons of support. There's free meetings. As soon as you realize, the sooner the better, that you are addicted, whether it's to chocolate, to coffee, you know, to alcohol or whatever it is, as soon as you realize it, you can say, you know what, I need help, I'm going to get off this, and you can get off it. I've had to do it many a time through my journey, and mm-hmm. it is possible.
And I think a lot of the times the soft addictions, the ones that aren't in, quote-unquote, in rehab, you know, they're not on cocaine, they're not on alcohol, they are addicted to chocolate or they are addicted to
yep.
the sugar drinks. There's no meetings for Sugar Anonymous. You know, that people just become obese and then maybe they got to go to Overeaters Anonymous. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is one of those deals where the public has sort of they wait for the thing to crash and then they go, okay, now I'll start rebuilding it. And it's sort of the opposite of taking that, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, if it ain't working optimally, you know, don't stop supporting it. And I just see this, there's not, it's almost like because the allopathic kind of cobra, the little snake they have on the symbol,
uh-huh.
it sort of chokes off the school system because of the vaccines and you know, no drugs, no shots, no school. There's a, again, when you have public health issues like this influenza outbreak, sometimes it's measles, whatever it is, they always run to the schools and the colleges and go crazy with the, you know, the drugs. Everyone has to be screened and monitored. It's almost as if there's almost an absence of individualism when it comes to this stuff. And the stuff you're talking about is the opposite. It's all about individualism and then community after that. But people don't claim their individualism until they're threatened in the other model. And I just don't know, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I guess that's sort of the second question I think I had to like, rewrite for you a little bit was, once you connect those dots, and it isn't just about not eating meat, not doing something defines you, like people that are in recovery say, well, I no longer do this. What else do you do? I no longer crawl, I walk. So it's like you can't define yourself by things you don't no longer do. But what you are doing is an extension of your identity. So when you said it isn't enough for me to just it's like transitioning from vegetarian to vegan. And making it a conscious effort to surround yourself in the lifestyle that you have, that has to have an impact on your self perception. And maybe, you know, for people that are just beginning on this journey and they've just maybe said, okay, maybe I put down some of these things that have been limiting me. Maybe I take away some of my, you know, self medicating behaviors, and start to feel what it's like to be in that gap between stimulus and response. I know it's been a long time for you. It's been a lifetime journey for you. But you, from your clients and other people that have been around you, can you share what goes on internally? Because somatics, we're really dealing with the interior aspect of things. How do people perceive themselves when they're sort of behind the stage and between set designs of how they're going to present themselves, A, to themselves, and B, to the world, when they're making these pretty radical changes in the way that they live?
Yeah.
What goes on inside? Is it just a series of very, very loud questions in there? Like, you know, what do I do? Or is it more about giving,
well,
surrendering?
You know, it's really, it comes back to, I mean, I think if most people are asked, like, what's the meaning of life?
Mm-hmm.
I think most, maybe I'm wrong, but I think most people would come to the word love, you know? I think so. I mean, that's where I come to. And
mm-hmm.
in terms of, like, the love lifestyle, it's an incredibly brilliant way to live. And when you start to put down the addictive things, once you realize that they are what they are and you call them for what they are, you realize that you have two choices. You can kill yourself slowly through these addictive, non-sustainable behaviors,
mm-hmm.
or you could live your life to the fullest. And it almost makes it easier on the inside dialogue because you now know that you're going to take personal responsibility. There's going to be lots of time of introspection. Oftentimes, the intelligence and the spiritual ideals precede the ability to steer oneself to new behaviors. And this gives an incredible awakening because you start to witness a part of yourself that has good intentions, the other part of the flesh that tends towards addiction, habit, or even inertia. So, like,
mm-hmm.
when you're living these principles, I think it's the most expansive thing I've ever done. Because when there were the days when I was doing the wine is raw, or marijuana is an herb, or chocolate, it's now touted for all its health benefits, so I should have it every day. Like, until you make a commitment that, you know, I mean, sometimes the information has to come first. So you may read more information or get turned on to the new biology and ask someone that you trust that knowledge is coming, especially when they're telling you something that could be making them money and they're saying, no, it's actually going to destroy your blood if you keep doing it, and you can do it if you want, and then we'll look at your blood and you can see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not necessarily an easy road, but it gets easier the stronger your commitment is and more firmly your education is placed. And for me, I come at it from so many different angles, whether it's my core spiritual belief about not eating animals or harming another, so you can have, you're not going to get good health, mental, emotional, physical, by harming another. I just have that as a deep spiritual belief. And then my desire to be the change, you know, the Gandhi quote that holds me tight is, allows me to focus on how I can improve my actions and reactions to help change my environment in a way that others can share in this blessing and be able to evolve too. And as I mentioned, I also had a family full of health challenges. And for me, I know that I actually have some control over whether or not these weak link or genes express themselves just by managing my diet and lifestyle. And it's been an evolution for me. By no means, it's not necessarily something that I did overnight, but year after year, I could like mark the transition. I could see where I've taken steps, three steps forward, and occasionally one step back, but you're always progressing. You're always going forward. So no matter where someone may be, they're always going to the next level. And it is a time of awakening right now. So I do think there's an internal dialogue that people are going to start hearing more clearly, and they can choose, you know, it gets to a point, like all addictions increase, you know, it's a progression. So whether it's with the bread or with the chocolate or with the ice cream or the wine, you know, and the information, it's coming at you at the other end. All, you know, everyone knows someone with cancer and probably someone right in their immediate family, if not more than one, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you get to the point where you can see people heading in that direction. You know, when you look at them, they're closer, they're going in that direction. And if you can actually sit with yourself and meditate and say, you know what, I'm going to make these commitments. And once you make these commitments, like I mentioned before, you just no longer have any of those crutches that will limit your progression towards your path or to your purpose. And I feel like it's made it easier for me because I've had so many things, whether it's like stage fright or addiction or, you know, low self-esteem. When I decided, you know, this is how I'm going to live, this is my goal, I'm here to serve, and I believe my purpose is to help bring this message out into the world. When I know, it's like it takes the question away whether or not I should or should not do something. And I'm just feeling like a tremendous amount of peace, and it's not been easy, but it does start to get easier and more exciting.
Well, you've got like a whole party going on down there, because again, the one thing I notice about your emails and your site is that it just seems like a fun place to go. It seems like it's not like, because a lot of the stuff in the vegetarian community or the vegan community, whatever you want to call it, it just seems very stoic and very Spartan-esque and very just kind of like denial. You can't eat that, eat this. You know, it's almost like a takeaway. It's like a punishment, like eat your Brussels sprouts, eat your celery, and go meditate in the corner. And you're having movie nights, and you're having, like,
yeah.
you know, these raves and massages,
yep.
and people getting aromatherapy, and it's like, this is a party.
Well, that's
the
thing,
like,
and that's a huge reason why I started the business in the first mm-hmm. place, was because I wanted to take away people's excuses for not being able to do it, because I had a selfish reason. I didn't want the animals to be hurt anymore, so
right.
I was like, well, what are the main excuses? I can't afford it. It's not, I can't access it, it's not convenient, it's
right.
not fun, it doesn't taste good. So I said, okay, let's make it, you know, create a membership program so people get discounts. Let's make the food as delicious as possible so people don't even know it's good for them. You know, let's make it convenient, we'll deliver it to their house. So
right.
we're just trying to take the excuses away, because it's really an abundant, delicious, exciting, connected way to live. And I wouldn't have known it. I too thought, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? I can't go out with my friends. You know, I'm not going to be doing this or going to the bars or this. But it's like the world that opens up that's so beautiful and exciting. You have to have a little bit of a faith and kind of step into it. But
mm-hmm.
I'm here to say it works.
Yeah, and again, this is one of those things where there's not a lot of celebrity models for it. I mean, you can look at these yo-yo people like Oprah and Kirstie Alley. I can't imagine going through a yo-yo like that where you gain 83 pounds after you lose whatever she lost, Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
Have the celebrity community, because they're so, I mean, you talk about people that live on the, on the, like the dog whistle level of the addictions and the highs and the lows and all the things you just mentioned. Have they even knocked on your door or gone?
Oh,
to,
yeah. We've got tremendous, mm-hmm. tremendous celebrity list.
Can you give us like four or five names that we would know? Or?
I can't give many names. I mean, the ones that have been outed with it by the press already were Gwyneth Paltrow, so I can mention her name, and Carol Alt. But I can say that they're all the top, hottest, mm-hmm. most beautiful people are into eating healthy, and they've already mm-hmm. come to the fact that, you know, they may not do it all the time, but a lot of the time they're interested in getting juice deliveries or food programs or
right.
coming into Organic Avenue, you know, because it works. I mean, when you start to experiment,
you're
going to
get athletes,
dieting,
you're going to get anyone that relies on your body to perform and communicate. Yeah, I mean, that might work as well. I mean,
absolutely.
Woody Harrelson's the big poster child, so to speak, for the hemp community and a political activist on a lot of levels. It just seems like, you know, you wish you could reach a guy like a Robert Downey Jr. with this, you know, or people that I know that have...
Oh, he's got it. He's already
got it.
He's been in the store. Yeah.
Okay, well, good.
Oh, yeah. Iron Man
in the house.
Oh, Robert Downey, he's doing tremendous. He's doing really well.
Yeah. I mean, those are the guys that the system kind of like, you know, kind of squeeze twice on them, and they're so talented, and they have that, the mercurial aspect to them. I wish people like that.
Oh, he's absolutely amazing, and I can report, as far as I remember last time I've seen him, he's doing really, really well. He's a genius,
mm-hmm.
and he's really doing good work.
Yeah, I mean, and then if that was something that the kids saw early on instead of Ronald McDonald, you know, that to me has some weight, unlike some of the other things that have gone on. I mean...
And more people. I even had a few models in the other day, and this one girl I was sitting with, and we were getting her on a customized program, and she was like, told me how she was talking to one of her other girlfriend, who's also a big model, and she's saying, like, we just want to bring the Organic Avenue juice bottle around because we want to try to make this into something that's cool. So, you know, so it's, the consciousness is happening, and even the people
mm-hmm.
that have influence, as they become more aware and more conscious, they're going to say, who can I support to bring more good into the world? And it's really
mm-hmm.
happening. A lot of the thought leaders are keen to this and are very supportive. I would say, you know, we've even had people comment before that, like, they've never seen a business where the customers come in and are like, how can we support this business? You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's very, because I said the other generation of it that came before you would be like the Gary Knowles of the world that were very militant about it. And they had to be at the time because there was a lot more opposition that was hard edge, and they came at it with their, you know, piles of facts, and the CoQ10 does this, and don't you tell me, and I'll give you my, you know, I'll see you one, grape seed extract, and it's like, and that becomes so heady and so intellectual and so disembodied to me that the stuff that you guys are doing, which has that feel of, you know, I could bring my hemp beach blanket down to Jones Beach this summer, and I could bring my organic, they have a new, you know, water bottle there. And it's like, it's a message that gets sent without having to be said over and over again, but it's not evangelical. It's much more about, it's heart-centered rather than head-centered, I guess. So that's the one thing I've always, I don't know how long I've been on your email list, it seems like 100 years, but every email you've sent, I stood back. It's almost like a thing of beauty sometimes because I get so much garbage. And you'll send something out, and I'll go, whoa. Because I don't know how long it takes you to cook these things up, literally cook up an email. I slave over these blog entries I have to do. And I'm a complete toad when it comes to doing anything that has any kind of, you know, aesthetic value. Just here's the information. I'm just an old science head.
Yeah,
but
some come easier than others.
Yeah, your stuff comes out, and it's like, how the hell does she make this sound new every time? Because it's always kind of, it's like, you know, it's a lot of angles you get in that most people would see that just, what was the name? I don't have it in front of me. What was the name of that? The poly whatever, the microscopy. What was the whole procedure called that Dr. Young does with the blood?
The live and dry blood microscopy.
Of course.
Of course.
There's a triple word score for Scrabble if you're listening at home.
Or nutritional microscopy. Another way to put it.
Nutritional microscopy. Okay, that's it. That's actually, I can actually pick that one up and roll it out of LaGuardia. Like nutritional microscopy. Okay. And the live cell stuff that I've seen out there. where you're looking at the way, you know, white blood cells would accumulate in the blood if you deal with memory. I've seen that with biofeedback. I've seen that with NLP work. If you add in this component, this conscious component that you're talking about, that to me is what makes it cool for someone that's uninitiated, that's used to looking in the blood for problems. Now they're looking in the blood for coherence, they're looking in the blood for tone, looking in the blood for vitality, rather than for, oh, there's the spot on the liver, oh, there's the cancer cells. You know, because everyone gets these procedures done to them, you know, as they go through the system, and it's almost like they're looking for what's going to be your fatal flaw, what's going to be, you know, your undoing. Is it going to be your family history? Is it going to be your genetics? Is it going to be, and this is saying, no, no, the conscious choices you make are contributing to your health, and as hardly anybody knows, 70% of the things that kind of devitalize us as adults is based on lifestyle choices. So a lot of the stuff we see that ends up, you know, on the back pages of you know, all the magazines and stuff, it comes from people making choices, either on limited information, just flat out misinformation, or just plain old, you know, refusal to learn, ignorance, and I just see you doing things that are different and have that. I don't know, if you did this in L.A., would you even be noticed? If you did this anywhere else in the country, because you stick out, I hate to say, like a sore green thumb, you know, in the middle of Manhattan, which is such a consumption-oriented, island of misfit toys down there. And then there you are, just thriving despite all that around you. And if you did that in a more progressive community, if you did that, in Santa Fe, you did that in L.A. somewhere, I don't know if they'd notice you as much.
I think it would be appreciated. I've had a lot of requests even from people who come in from L.A. saying they really need us there, so I was surprised by that. But I also felt my Dharma work was here in Manhattan. I had lived in California, I've lived in New Mexico, I've lived in Virginia, but I felt that if I were to do this work and I did it well here in Manhattan, it would spread and it would influence more people. So I think it's important that it takes root here, and I think it is.
Now, have you gotten any overtures from the political types, from a Bloomberg, from one of these guys that has, you know, the ability to wave his magic wand and have people obey and say, you know, this is a progressive and much more open-ended way of going about bringing these ideas across, or the political people still kind of 10-foot pole in it?
Yeah, I think we're still a little bit separate.
They're the last ones
nice
over the fence.
Yeah, it'll be nice to come together with the right influential leaders in that area. I look forward to it.
Yeah, because I don't know if in the Obama administration if you've had anybody, you know, recently come across with any type of juice for it. I hate to use these food terms, but keep coming my head. Because I've seen two things happen in the last maybe 6 months or so since everything kind of transitioned over there, is that people are looking at healthcare as a social situation and less as a more of a politicized thing where it's uncoupled from the politics. The politics should serve the society and not the other way around. And the idea of choice, the idea of having access, the idea of having more open information, the Internet's, of course, you know, kind of take the lid off the cover of that stuff. What do you think is going to be the biggest driver for you online? Because, you know, locally you're a sensation and the store's going good. Do you see the online community becoming much more, robust as the political openness kind of returns to the country, or you think it's just going to continue to kind of be underground?
Oh, I think this will eventually be the way. I mean, there's still a level of awakening that has to happen. But people are getting sick, and they're also getting sick and tired, and they realize that the way the medical system is set up is not set up to help them stay healthy. And I think people know that they have to begin to make prevention and doing this through diet and lifestyle like a way of life. So a lot of younger kids are already hip to this. I have, you know, lots of 20-year-olds that are in the business, either working for the business or come into the shop. And people are like, they're starting really young. They know, that drinking green juice, being vegan, and very hip to the latest cutting-edge health information. You know, I think that a lot of people are starting to become aware. And you have a choice. Like, you can play the victim role, and you can believe that, oh, this disease just happened to me, and I have to go get a pill for it, and that's what I'm lacking is this pill. Or you could say, you know what, that doesn't make sense. You know, I actually can pinpoint certain things that I feel as though if I changed would shift some of this, and let me try that first. And also just being open, like saying to the universe, like, give me the guidance to the right move or the support I need to make this shift or make this change. The support comes or the direction comes. And I think people are going to start to integrate their selves with the fact that they're part of a greater picture, a bigger universe, and not just go along following the herd into the slaughterhouse, basically.
Ooh, nice visual.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
just to go to the dark side of the woo here for a minute, because this is something we kick around on the show once in a while, actually more often than I want to, but the advent of things like What the Bleep and The Secret and some of the stuff that just, to me, gives such a bubblegum version of this process to people, which is it disillusions more people than it turns on to me because it is so one-dimensional. How do you prevent the core spiritual lessons that are sort of inside all this consciousness that you're talking about here from being co-opted by, you know, the machine, as I'll call it, which will just prop up anything that sells, and they don't care about the consequences, and so people will get sort of a cardboard cutout version of what is really there, and you end up with Blazing Saddles, and not a real kind of a visceral movement of people to the vegan mindset. How do you stop the conveyor belt from abusing this stuff, because it is so good and it does attract people and it does get results, but then if you do what they usually do, like they've done with fitness and they've done with just about 100 other things, they homogenize it and they flatten it out and they make a cafeteria style and it just runs off the table.
Well, again, it goes back to education, and when people
mm-hmm.
know that they have to have fresh, ripe, raw, organic, vegan food, that it can't be cooked, processed, pasteurized, just devoid of nutrients, they'll know what to look for, so they'll have to get more into their local sustainable businesses, and that's kind of like Organic Avenue's goal, is to create local businesses or local kitchens and work with local farmers to support the local areas that we're
mm-hmm.
in. I just think that, you know, there's also the keeping science in the game, you know, so it's not just a feel-good thing or, you know, well, I tried this and this feels really good, but again, like being able to look at the blood or actually see positive health results on even standard diagnostic tests that one might take while they're doing this. These are ways that someone can be sure that what they're doing is the real thing and that it's not a watered-down approach.
Yeah, I love this blood thing. I want to just drop in there and scare you guys with whatever the heck's in my blood, because it would frighten
yeah,
most people.
Yeah, definitely.
I think people.
I'd be happy to look at your blood. It'd be fun.
No, you'd have to close the store. There'd be like a hazmat suits we'd be going on that are running around in my bloodstream. But so just in our closing moments here, just wanted to clear up. If you just tuned in, this has been an amazing hour with Denise Murray from Organic Avenue. She absolutely embodies everything that she's talking about here from. You know, from basically head to toe. I mean, everything you could find about on this woman online, offline, on the street, she lives and breathes this stuff. What is the number one misconception about you and about your work that you'd like to clear up for the Blog Talk Radio community here and now?
Well, let's see. Misconception.
Yes.
I would probably, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know if there's a big misconception out there. I mean, I'm definitely human. I'm not perfect.
Right. I connected to PETA. You know, like there's some weird, you know, urban myth about you that basically gets maybe prevents somebody from coming to the door that otherwise would.
You know, I really, really don't know of one at this point. I mean, someone could holler one out at me at some point and I could help to clear it up.
All right. You are a woman devoid of any gossip. This is amazing.
Gossip,
first time on the show, but
yeah.
Basically, I'll give you one from someone that's sitting across the street at a diner somewhere, and that might look across at Organic Avenue with a jaundice eye, because they have a jaundice eye. is that the perception is that this is just a hustle? This is just another way to sell me something, because I've been sold everything else. It's always been sort of, you know, It's been a piece of coal when I've taken away all the wrapping, and that on the other side of this is just somebody else, you know, getting over on me just like everybody else. And I think that misconception is in the bookstores with all the different diets. I think it's in the gyms with all the different exercise programs, and it's definitely out there with all the different spiritual disciplines and all the, you know, the expos and seminars and consciousness raising, woo woo doo. And you're offering something that's an inside out approach, literally from the blood. Here's your blood, pal. Let's start from there. And I just want to clear that up to people that this is the real deal. You know, that real pal thing.
Yeah, I think that is a good point, actually. When you're saying that, I'm thinking about some on occasion when people come in and they may remark on price. And, you know, when you mentioned hustle, so they may think, they're just like marking things up really high, and I guess that would be a misconception, because a lot of people just do not realize how expensive, you know, when you're running a business that's 100% organic, that you're not skimping and buying conventional and marking it organic. No, you're buying actually the highest integrity, quality ingredients, and on top of that, you're paying premium wages to the workers, and on top of that, it's all handmade product.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing, you know. But also they'll say, oh, it's so expensive, and then the next hand they'll go over to the local bar and spend $10 on a cocktail and say, well, okay, if you shift where you're spending your money, you'd have more money for these more health-promoting things. And it happens when people say, oh, I can't afford it. And then we're like, you know what, it all works out. When you start to shift your priorities, all of a sudden the money is available for these things that you really benefit from.
Yeah, and again, there's a lot of people out there that get jaded because they've done the blue-green algae and they've done the shiitake mushroom and they've done all these things, and it's like, damn, I'm in the same place I've always been in. And like you're saying, it isn't this one-dimensional aspect. It's a complete lifestyle that needs support, and you offer both things. You offer people the information, the products, and the community that will help them through that, which is rare. Like I said, that's why I say you, to me, out of everyone I've ever talked to or come across in this forest of choices out there, you're the real deal. You're persistent, and you've always, every year gone by, you've always seen to add another layer, another shelf, another dimension to your work, and I'm a big fan. I don't know what
Thank
my brother's going to tell you, but I'm in awe of the fact that you've done this from the sidewalk out, without the benefit of some university giving you a rubber stamp, without somebody standing outside, you know, with a big science hat saying good. Because the stuff that goes on in the clinical world is always subject to, you know, some allopathic guy saying anecdotal, and then they run away like a bunch of sticks.
I hate that word. No, it's very true, and you know, I am a truth seeker, so all I continue to do is look more, ask more questions, and then present the information that I've come across to anyone I can if I feel passionately enough about it. And you gave two examples of the mushrooms and the allergies. Like, these are things that, yes, along my path, these were touted as health and health beneficial. And come to the new biology, what do I see? Mushrooms, fungus, algae, oxygen robbing. These are two things that I would now not recommend. And even if they're in my store and someone comes in, because I'm slowly transitioning my stores as quickly as I can without shocking everyone, but there is a new level of information. And again, I just really encourage people, whether they give me a call directly or read the PH Miracle and the works of Dr. Young, or sign on to my e-newsletter, and I'll do better at getting more information out to people, because these are the things that people do waste money on and can be compromising their health. And again, if they have certain things that they're trying and they live by and they swear by, and they're open to it, we could always look at the blood and see if it's truly working for them.
Well, maybe we'll get Dr. Young on here. When's he going to speak at your place, in June?
He'll be in New York. We're actually renting a bigger space for him. He'll be, I think it's the 27th and the 28th of June.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll get him on the show, you know, a week before that or so to promote it.
Sure.
And let him get the word out, because, like I said, anything I could do to help you guys out, I would love to, because I think what you're doing is brilliant, and I wish there was, you know, 1,000 Denise Murrays out there with the amount of energy and inspiration that you have, because to me, I haven't seen the horizon yet in what you do, and I'm just a little, you know, name on an E-list, as far as you know, but I've always, you know, printed out your emails and handed them out to clients that live in the city and say, will you please go? because I've always felt that, you know, anyone I find that's doing real work and high integrity, I will endorse them to the cows come home, literally, and then, of course, free the cows. But
of course. Yeah, well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And you're doing the great work by helping the word get out, so that's really amazing.
Yeah, all right. So, everybody, this is Denise Murray from OrganicAvenue.com. You can go over there, get the phone numbers, get all that stuff, get on the e-newsletter, and definitely go down and see her. She is, as I say, the real deal. And thanks for joining us tonight on Soma Time.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Wow. I am stunned. To update us, the Mets have won. Let's go back to priorities here. 1-0 and a stunner. So I'll be watching the Mets replay later because I couldn't interrupt that conversation. I felt like I was in church or something over there with Denise. The woman's name is Judy Trunnell, that passed away from the flu. She was a teacher, 33-year-old teacher, down in Texas, and she had chronic underlying health conditions. Unfortunately, Denise and her magic blood machine didn't get to her soon enough. She also had an 8-month baby delivered by a cesarean section, and she has a 4-year-old daughter. So that's a really sad situation there. And, you know, I mean, you look at these things and you're like, of course, the Center for Disease Control is, they actually have end prevention added on there. It's weird. They're not correlating it directly. They say it's a cofactor, but because it's a new strain, they don't know what the heck they're talking about. But anyway, that's the backstory on that. Maybe I'll post that over on blogsoma.net later to make that clear for you guys, but to clear that up. And, you know, we also are sitting here a day removed from the tragic passing of a comic genius, Dom DeLuise, who did not embrace the vegan lifestyle at all, actually, and he managed to live a pretty long life. I don't know how healthy it was, Captain Chaos, but I miss him already. I miss the whole thing. I miss he's not high enough in the movie The End. I miss, Dom DeLuise. I wish I could have got that into the mix there with Oprah and Kirstie Alley, but wow. Well, I'm still sitting here just kind of processing all the stuff that Denise shared with us, and I moved to a YouTube commercial here that maybe will, if it'll play, will illustrate where my thoughts are.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
There you go, the Dos Equis guy. So, anyway, that was Denise Murray, and it's gonna play again now. No, you're not. Stop that. So, anyway, long story short, that whole interview there, I was really trying to understand because I'm not someone that lives that lifestyle at all. As anyone that knows me can attest, that's why I really fear and dread what she would find in my bloodstream. But maybe I might go down there. I might go down there just to entertain them, just to say, look, I'm still alive here as an eco-sapien as I am. And I just love to see these communities talk to each other more instead of operating in isolation like they do. And be able to share their information more with more people. And hopefully, you know, a show like tonight, you know, she'll get the MP3, she'll send it out to her SAPES, and we'll get Dr. Young on here, and maybe get Dr. DiAdamo to retort, because, again, I am a card-carrying member of the Eat Right For Your Type guys, and I like that stuff, because it gives you a constitutional awareness. Now, a lot of this stuff, we haven't got into homeopathy, the energetics of it, all that other stuff, because it's deep, and you SAPES are cheap. You want cheap information, stuff along the frothy surface, where Denise operates down where it's mellow, at the bottom of the river. And that takes time to get there. You know, she was spelunking, you know, 20 years ago when there wasn't that many, you know, people selling the scuba gear to go get it. And you had to be kind of a little bit of a pioneer to get down there. And I just hope that that we can actually get to the point where this does become the first education, not the second or the third education that people get about themselves and their environment, and the somatic message, which is the conversation or the relationship between self and surroundings, can become the primary conversation instead of the one that's way at the back of the bus. And let's see if we can get this song. What is it called? I'm off the road. I'm not loser. What the heck is it called? I'm just looking for this, the song to play us out because I can't get into the damn Napster. What, you know, every week I'm amazed at how many things can go wrong. Do, 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 do. What is that song? Two turntables and a microphone. That's what I want. You know, this is it. This is it. This is where I'm at now. Let's see. Two turntables. It took me an hour to get the woman's name. And now it's going to take me 5 minutes to get a video up. There we go. Let's see. Oh, where it's at, of course. That's right. That's right. That's right. Quoting my son there. All right, so see if this plays us out. I love the beginning of this song. If I could start my life over, it would start with this instead of Green Onions. No meat, no fur, no test. Ah, yes, sapiens. It's been another hour and 20 minutes of pontification. But we got us a Met W. And we got lovely dulcet tones, like I said before, on, I think it was on Twitter or one of those things I put this out on, of Denise Murray. She was very serious for someone that I thought wasn't going to be coming from there, but she was. It made me serious, which is hard to do, especially whenever I'm sitting. So anyway, next week we have sort of a potpourri. We have an option. We could be joined by one of two different guests. So make sure you check your program there on the BTR server, or visit us at blogsoma.net, or of course the ever-evolving somaspace.org. And until then, thank you for spending this time in our space. And we're going to boogie out of here. Travel light, my friends. We will see you next time. Be yourself and be well.
On the side of the road, the elevator falls and you whip flash holes. Members only hypnotized and move through the room like Netflix. Drivers shine your shoes with your microphone blues. Here's two with your parachute boots. Passing the Gucci from coast to coast. Let the man get